Today is National Heroes Day, which always takes me by surprise, I guess, because it's not always on the same date. But I looked it up. It's on the last Monday of August. So that's why it's today. It's kind of like a secular or a civic All Saints Day, All Heroes Day, or National Heroes Day. So I assume that excludes the heroes that have their own day, Rizal, Bonifacio, Ninoy Aquino. They all have their own day. So Aguinaldo doesn't have a day. I know Quezon doesn't have a day. I mean, there's these other fellows, Del Pilar and all these people. Although I know in the controversy that is always raging in politics, there are people who say that Marcos is the current president's father should be included as heroes, and he's buried in the National Heroes Cemetery, whereas they think Ninoy, who has a day, should not have a day, and they want to take him off the money and take his name off the airport. It's a textbook case of political rivalry. Whichever side you might be on, it's obviously political. Well, that's not the focus of today in the church. Today we are celebrating the martyrdom, the passion of St. John the Baptist, the beheading of St. John the Baptist. He's a real hero. By any measure, he's a hero. Usually, when somebody dies for a cause, that's a pretty big plus if you want to fall into the hero category. Maybe that's why Aguinaldo doesn't get a day, because he didn't really die for his country. I think he just died of natural causes. But Bonifacio was killed, Rizal was killed, Ninoy was killed. John the Baptist was killed. And when we read this horrible story, we are given another blatant picture of how sin works in the human family. Of course, John is the hero. Herod is the villain. And Herod ultimately bears the responsibility for John's death. But Herodias also has a big part to play in this horrible story. And arguably, she is worse. She didn't have the power to put him to death, but she had more malice. She wanted him to die, whereas Herod didn't really want him to die. So he wasn't as opposed to John as Herodias was. I've used these two as examples in the past. I'll just mention it briefly. They represent the two major categories of sin, sensuality, and pride. I think you've heard me talk about that, sensuality and pride. Sensuality is represented by Herod, pride represented by Herodias. If you think of the seven deadly sins, the capital sins, three of them clearly fall into the pride category: pride, envy, anger, although anger also has a passion involved in it, but pride and envy for sure are, you could say, spiritual dispositions to sin. They're not rooted in the desires of the body as much. So pride and the anger, and then the three that are clearly sensuality, sloth, or that attachment to comfort and leisure or pleasure, gluttony, food and drink, and lust, sexual pleasure. So those are clearly connected to physical desires. So the three classic sins of pride, envy, anger, classic sins of sensuality, sloth, gluttony, lust, and then the middle one kind of falls in both categories is greed. Greed because it's not something that we actually need, money and possessions, but it's things that we can use for our pleasures. So that's the categories of sin. Anyway, I said I want to do that briefly, but Herodias represents the sins of pride, because she is motivated more clearly by malice. She's more vindictive. She's consumed with a vengeance that is poisoning her deeply. Whereas Herod, it seems, is caught up in his pleasures. He's got his birthday party, he's got the dancing girl. Usually the dance, it doesn't say much about the dance, but it's usually portrayed as a very lewd movements, and he's caught up in his lust, and so he's willing to promise her anything. Maybe he's drunk, you know, gluttony, lust, sloth. He's a figure caught in his flesh. He doesn't want John to die, but he does make the order, so he bears the responsibility. Now, in the relationship of John, I like to look at these two categories: John and his relationship with Herod, and then the relationship of Herodias with her daughter. Just as a way of reflecting on our condition. I'm not talking about bad people, I'm talking about the human family. John and Herod. John says to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." This is only words in this gospel. "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." It's a word of truth. It's a moral guidance, correction. It's given in love for the good of Herod, for the good of Herod's wife. I can't remember who his real wife is. And for the good of Herodias, and for the good of the nation. He's pointing out a sin that is affecting, first of all, Herod himself, but then his whole family and the whole nation. It's adultery on public display. Now, you could imagine John, first of all, communicating this message to Herod in private, because that's what is normally done when it comes to correcting people. You don't just go launching into public statements. Although in public, in case of gross public sins, sometimes you have to make public statements. But the first thing you do is you tell the offender privately. And maybe he did. It says, "John said to Herod, it is not lawful for you." Well, it obviously didn't make any dent in Herod. And Herod instead arrested him and put him in prison, probably to keep him quiet, but also probably to protect him from Herodias. Because if he's out there in public, Herodias might figure out a way to have him killed. So Herod has this split motive. He fears John, he respects John, he's perplexed by John, he likes to hear John preach. So this is an example of a man who has a troubled conscience. He's an example of us when we have a troubled conscience. We know the truth, we find it difficult. We don't want to say no. We're too afraid to say yes. So we leave our conscience in a kind of prison. We're listening, but we're not acting. We're allowing our conscience to trouble us, but we're not making a definitive decision against sin. And that's a very common condition. So that's why it's good to reflect on Herod without focusing on his gross evil. Think of him as an example of what we're like when we don't make decisions against evil, against sin, when we don't refuse temptation, when we allow sins of sensuality or pride, but especially sensuality in Herod's case, when we don't refuse them. Well, then our conscience still speaks, but it doesn't have its effect on our behavior. John, as it turns out, makes the ultimate sacrifice. He won't change his message even to save his life. That's a true prophet. That is why he is such an effective precursor of Jesus. He's conceived before Jesus. He's born before Jesus. He does public ministry before Jesus, baptizes before Jesus, and he dies before Jesus. Everything he does is in preparation for and in anticipation of Jesus Christ. When Jesus hears about the death of John, he knows he's next. It's a kind of a threshold in the public ministry of Jesus. So John is a faithful prophet all the way to the end, and that's why we have this feast day in his honor. He's a hero. He stands for what he says, He dies for what he believes. So we see the contrast here. If you want to be a hero, follow your conscience. Do what's right, no matter the cost. If you want to be enslaved by sin, follow Herod. And you see what will happen. Eventually, you will kill your conscience, or try to. Very important lessons for us. Now let's take a look at Herodias here. The line that jumped out at me as I was pondering this is actually the words of the girl. Traditionally, she's known as Salome or Salome. She's not mentioned by name, but we know this is the daughter of Herodias, but not the daughter of Herod, the daughter of Herod's half-brother, so his niece. Anyway, the king swears to her, "I will give you anything you ask, even a half my kingdom. What do you want? I'll give you anything you ask for." And the girl goes to the mother and says, "What shall I ask for? What shall I ask for?" That really caught me. I said, here's a girl, we don't know how old she is, probably a teenager, an adolescent, or maybe a young woman, enough to do a sexy dance. Can't be a child, not a little girl. But anyway, she's on a threshold here. What shall I ask for? Now, if you were a mother and your daughter had this opportunity to ask for anything she wanted, well, what would you ask for? If any good mother would say, well, ask for something that's good. Ask for something that will benefit people. Ask the king to build a hospital or something, or build a school, or set free some people who are imprisoned, or if it's going to be selfish, I mean, send me to dancing school, or give me an education, or give me a new, whatever, a new wardrobe. I mean, something. Even if it was selfish, at least it was good. And that's what any mother would say. Ask for something good. But Herodias, this is where you see the real wickedness of the woman. Herodias tells her own daughter to ask for the execution of John. Ask for the head of John. It's as gross, it's as evil a decision as you can imagine, coming from a mother to a daughter. What in the world has happened to the inner life of Herodias, that she thinks that that's a good thing, to make her daughter the instrument of the death of an innocent man? This young daughter has been completely distorted by her own mother. The mother's hatred of John poisons her own daughter. And the daughter throws in this detail about the platter. Now, I don't know if the mother asked for the platter. He just asked for the head. And the daughter says, well, give me the head on a platter. So the daughter, maybe she had her own, already had her own twisted perception of what's good. So why dwell on this? Because, as I said, when we focus on John and Herod, we can see conscience, we can see struggle, we can see heroism. When we focus on Herodias and her daughter, we can see the way that our sin affects other people. What you could call a kind of community of sin, or a fellowship of sin. Just as a hero's greatness affects all of us, the sin of an evil person affects all of us. We're connected. We're a corporate reality, the human family, and especially with close relationships. So if we choose sin, we influence other people to choose sin. If we give a public witness to sin, well, we become a cause of sin for others, a scandal for others. Herodias is not only bad herself, she makes her own daughter bad. So it gives us, I hope, incentive to fight sin. To fight sin. To not, and I say she represents sins of pride. To fight against pride. Because our pride poisons people whom we influence. Our envy poisons people whom we influence. Our anger, our vengeance, our vindictiveness, our whatever, self-righteousness, it does affect people. So that should give us incentive to fight those temptations. If we give in to them, not only do we destroy ourselves, but we also have terrible effect on the people close to us. So I know it's maybe a terrible way to conclude, but this is what this gospel tells us. It shows us how sin works. And the victor over sin is the one, is John, the one who's willing to die rather than sin. And that's the true hero. And that's the example given to us in this feast.